unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. God is so worthy to be praised. It's such a privilege and joy being here. Pastor Mel, thank you for allowing me to join you and my dear brother from Haiti. My brother from another mother, but the same father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before I get into, I want to thank the church here. As my wife and I, we've been in a season of transition. And it's been an exciting time. It's been nothing new to us to being in transition. And, you know, transition is never an easy place when you're relying upon your own ability. But transition can become the most relaxful place when you're relying upon God's intuition in your life. And so, right from the get-go, it's not something we just put on. We don't believe it's fake it till you make it, baloney. When there comes a peace of God, it's so important. He says, I give you peace, Irene, that goes beyond your understanding. It's something that's not, you'll find cross-stitch in some pillow or something that just to kind of mind remind you or some sympathy card. But there is an active peace that God will give you when you meditate upon Him. You know, when Jesus was crossing over on the other, so He says, let's go the other side, right? Crossing Galilee. He pulls up his peace pillow. And the Prince of Peace is found sleeping in the ship, right? And all the other disciples are going crazy, and they said, don't you kid. Now they're blaming Jesus of being careless. I mean, he's like, I just woke up, now you're blaming me for things. I was sleeping. He goes, don't you care that we perish? And he gets up, he calms the storm. They say, what manner of man is this? He's a manner of man who is the Prince of Peace. And what he does is, when he commands the storm, what he does is, where he brings the peace that's in him, and he says, now peace be still. Because regardless of the chaos that's going on, I know that peace is so far greater than the chaos. So peace, come into alignment with the very nature that you're called to be. Peace, be still. He doesn't say storm, be still. Notice that. He doesn't say storm, stop. He doesn't say circumstance, cease. He says peace, come into the situation and be still. And a lot of times we can so pray circumstantial prayers saying, oh God, let the circumstance stop. Let the fear stop. Let all these things stop. And God's, no. You're praying the wrong thing. Get into the process of peace and say, peace, show up. Show up. Come on now. And so that's where we're at. And we're in that place. And I want to thank you all. I've asked nothing of you, but God, by the graciousness, the love from the church, from the people here, and I mean, the Lucases, thank you. We're having camp meetings now every night in the back, me, my wife, and our kids in a camper. So, thank you. And you guys have been so, words really doesn't do any justice how above and beyond each and every one of you have been in this time of transition. And the Lord has so faithfully provided, thank you guys, food pantry, everything. I mean, you guys came out like full force and just, I mean, above and beyond. I mean, we're so blessed. I think we're going to open up our own food pantry too because we have so much stuff now. It's like, I mean, and it's just, it's amazing. And so thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you. It's a pleasure having my mom here this morning all the way from Indiana. Hallelujah. You know, it's because of that woman, and I know other people, my grandparents, Pastor Mel, but my mom, man, she labored not only for me giving birth, but she labored spiritually that I might come into a second birth. And so thank you, Mom, and praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm trying not to be long. I'm really anxious to hear what my brother from Haiti, what the Lord has been speaking to the Spirit. I really believe us being here is more than just preaching a good sermon and some greatest, latest revelation. But I really believe that we have come here in one spirit to flow prophetically by the Spirit of the Lord, and that God wants to speak in such a tremendous way. And I just, my prayer is, as you turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, is that the things that are spoken would not just be something you'll add on the shelf of other great sermons, but that this would be something that you would really want to chew upon and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to this house? Because I so believe that we are so in need, not only of just a revival, we need of a real shakening of the things of God to happen in the hearts of people. A real shakening. A revival, let me tell you about revival before we read into it. Revival, a lot of times, you know, it always brings about a refreshing. But initially, it's not a pretty picture. My wife and I, we've we are trained in CPR and first aid. And we have to be trained that in case somebody is choking, somebody is drowning, that we got to pull them up and we got to revive them. We got to resuscitate them. And so when it comes to really revival and praying for an outpouring of God, there has to be a willingness of taking in people that have been dead or anemic from the presence of God. And so what happens is that there comes two things. There's a breathing into the life, and then there's also a pounding at the chest. And I believe that in this day and hour, God is wanting to pound in the hearts of man. Now he says, knocking and keep knocking until it's opened up. And he's wanting to breathe his spirit of life again. It's not just so you can breathe to experience the former years. It's so that he will breathe so you can experience the new things that he has to do. He brings his church from glory to glory. Thank God for the former years, but I'm so excited for the new thing God has in store. Because of the former years, it has placed us into a place to expect him for new things. Amen? 2 Kings chapter 4. I felt this word 2 Sundays as Pastor Mills preached. I felt the Lord prophetically began to speak this in my spirit. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, I'll read it. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is now come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves, bondmen." I'm going to stop there. A certain woman the Bible starts off with in this chapter. A lot of times when you read through the scriptures, I want to give you a little tidbit. A lot of times when there's a reference of a woman, prophetically, you can always attach that to the church. Because the church is always identified in a female form as the bride of Christ. So a certain woman or a certain church, she comes, says, "The sons, my husband, one among the prophets, he's dead." The prophet represents the word of the Lord. And so I was meditating upon this and her situation before we read on and the dilemma, and she doesn't know what to do. There's no presence. Her husband's dead. There's no hearing of what is God saying. No rhema word. No speaking. And she's in fear, brother. And now she's concerned. And she's saying, "Now the fruitfulness of our family, the fruitfulness between my husband and I, now that he's out of the picture, and I feel so absent of his presence, now the fruitfulness that I've labored for is about to be sold away and about to leave." And so she is really in a dire need and circumstance, and she's frustrated. And I believe that a lot of the church today is reacting to such a circumstance because we have feared people more than we feared God. And it's been an absence of the word of the Lord, the prophetic of being in the house, the gifts of spirit being operating in the house. And now there's a fear that the very things that in yesteryears gave birth to is now drifting away. And so she comes to the prophet Elisha, and she shares a circumstance. And if you read on the net, I love this verse. And this is, if I could title this, it's "What's in Your House?" Because he says this, "And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for you? What shall I do for you? What shall I do?" I don't think he said it in a way that, can I help you out? I believe he was frustrated. I believe there was a frustration because she knew she was exposed to the things of God. She knew she wasn't a stranger to the prophetic. She wasn't a stranger of being within that kind of an atmosphere. And so here's this prophet coming. He's like, "What shall I do for you?" And he says this, "But tell me," he says, "what's in your house?" I love this. She says, "Thy handmaiden has not anything." Has not anything, it says, "but a jar of oil." Except, or in King James, "but a little pot of oil." She says, "I have nothing in my house, but just a little bit of oil back there in the cupboard. You check my closet, it's barren. You check this, I've been ripping my hair throughout the night trying to find out what can I sell, what can I help salvage and help save my household, and what that I got because I'm afraid to lose it. He says, what's in your house? She says, I got nothing but a little bit of oil. And the problem is that this dear woman, I call it this way, she was majoring on the minor. She was so focused on the nothingness that she had that she neglected what little she had. Come on. What's in your house? What's in your house? Lord, church was filled back in its glory years. I hear the Lord say, but what's in your house? Oh, Lord, we don't really have much. Oh? Well, what's in your house? Well, Lord, the church down the street, I mean, they're not really preaching about you, but they know how to get a lot of... No. What's in your house? What's in your house? Don't worry about another man's vineyard. What's in your vineyard? What's in your... You know the show, The Beverly Hillbillies? Right? Beverly Hill, great show, right? And every opening for the Beverly Hillbillies, here's good old Jethro, right? He's out with his dog, and he's out hunting on his land, and he's, right? But little did he know when he went to go shoot that wacky wabbit, and he missed it. It struck something in his vineyard, in his property, that he knew was not there before. He struck oil. Oh, he struck it, and he struck it big. So much so, right? They pack their things, and they head out to Beverly Hills with Grandma on the roof in her rocking chair, and they spend their money. They don't even know how to deal with money. They just spend it. And have you ever noticed they have all these lavish things, and yet they never took the time to buy new clothes? They were blessed beyond measure. God so filled their house of wealth. And yet, even when they acquired wealth, you could tell by them they never forgot where they came from. Oh, they used the wealth, but they held on to it loosely. Isn't that something? I really do believe that there is something beneath our feet, beneath the surface. Jesus said this, I said this before. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed hidden in the field. A seed, a treasure hidden in the field. That when a man went, he dug, all of a sudden he saw a little glimpse of treasure, Brother Chick. And next thing you know, that little bit of oil, he says, man, I'm going to buy this property. I'm going to buy so much. I don't know where the oil reservoir ends or it begins, but I'm going to go, as long as I'm willing to walk this territory, I'm going to purchase it. Because I believe there's something beneath the surface. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I really believe there's something beneath the surface of Grace Chapel this morning. Something beneath the surface. But if only you dig a little deeper. Well, gee, how do I dig? I mean, we come to church, we show up, and we got programs, we got... What's in the place of intercession? What's in the place of seeking Him in His Word? You know, Jesus, last He says, you know, blessed are they who hunger and thirst of righteousness, for they shall be filled. Don't let the enemy divert you and keep you away from hungering. If you're hungry enough, you'll go after it. Your appetite will drive you till it becomes relieved. Satisfied. Well, let's read on here. This is awesome. And then he said, verse 3, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. In other words, don't try to trust me and say, Lord, I'm trusting you, but I'm going to get a few vessels to see if this thing works. Or I'm going to put an end date of the direction that we feel the Lord's going just to give it some time for maybe the waters to shift a little bit and see. No. He's saying this to the woman. He goes, it's either now or never. Either it's full in or just go home. You can go back to your circumstance all you want. You can go back in fear all you want. Or you can go to the outside and just fully exhaust yourself and give yourself. You got no plans. There's nothing on your calendar. The only thing you're concerned about is that I have nothing. Okay. He says, take the vessels even of your neighbor. My neighbor. Lord, I don't have anything but a little oil. My neighbor. Oh, yes, yes. Because when God wants to work in your midst, it's not just about you. When you receive the thus saith the Lord, it's to you, but not about you. Come on. It's always God wanting to reach a people through you. Through you. And so, that's hoping. He says, so he goes, you know, he says, now get the neighbors, get them, get the empty ones. Doesn't matter whether half full, so full, whatever the case may be, and come together. Come together. It's not just about coming in the spirit of unity, but ultimately it's about coming in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Because you can come in the spirit of unity all you want, but you got no Holy Spirit, you go nowhere. We can get together, sing kumbaya all we want. But unless the Holy Spirit becomes the main narrative of our gathering, and we lay prostrate before the Lord, say, Lord, have your way in me, and have your way through me, then we're going to say we have nothing. Maybe a little bit of oil. But how is it, Pastor Mel, that God, He is so amazing, who's so great and so big, we know He can move mountains, and guess what? You can move mountains too. He said if you had faith, you could move mountains. You could tell this mountain, get out of here. So the amazing thing is, God, He works in the smallest, minute ways, things that you don't even realize as of it being of any possibility or any consideration. Moses, what's that in your hand? I got a stick. But I don't have an army, Lord. How am I going to take over Pharaoh, Lord? How am I going to do? God, I don't have this. I don't have this program. I don't have, you know, whatever the case is. He goes, no, but what's in your hand? I got a stick. Put that stick on the ground. I'll touch a stick. And I'll let the whole army be at bay. Disciples said, Jesus, we got nothing to eat, Lord. So what do you have? Well, this kid, you know, he's just this little rascal, this little punk. Got some fish, some loaves, things, you know. Give it to me. And God blessed it. He broke it and He gave it. God didn't just bless us. He blessed us to break us so He can give us what little we have. What little we have. He says, bring the vessels. Bring them. He says, all of them. He says, when thou come in, verse 4, He says, come in, shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and shall pour out all into all the vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, she shut the door upon her and her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. Bring me another one. What, Mom, what are you talking about? You got all the... No, bring me another. In other words, she got so much into the spirit of walking in grace and faith that even though she went to all of her neighbors, she's still looking for more vessels to fill. Wow. It ain't enough just to say, well, we have our 2-hour meeting, whoever come. No. Even after the meeting is over, I'm still looking for more vessels. They may not come here, but I got legs to go there. I need more vessels. I need more people. There are people yet to be filled. Yet to be filled. You know, God, you know, we're not spirit-filled to be spirit-filled. We're spirit-filled to be spirit-led. If we don't have the desire of the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can pray for speaking in tongues and all this other stuff all you want. You ain't going to get it until there's a realignment within your spirit. Say, Lord, lead me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. God, give me the resources I need to do whatever it is you want me to do. That's when He says, I'm going to fill you with my spirit, because that's the purpose. The Spirit's job is to really bring into the forefront the Word of God. Not just so we can have a wonderful, refreshing time. That's part of it. But that ain't the end-all, be-all. It's that we would be led by the Spirit of God. That we'd be reliant upon the things of the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Spirit, not before I just get here, but before Him, because I need the leading of God, because in my own understanding, I got nothing. But I have a little bit of oil. Paul says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Don't worry about, I'm not like Pastor Mel. God didn't tell you to be like Pastor Mel. What gift is in this house? What is in here? What is it that's yet to be stirred up? Well, Lord, we're praying, believing for a younger generation, and you got a few young generation. What's in your house? Come on now. A seed that's sown, it will result to a harvest, but you can't neglect the seed. Come on. Well, the young generation, they're not getting into it, and they just need to come dance. Well, guess what? Show them how to dance. You see my daughter up here? I mean, she's learning to dance. Why? Because she sees Daddy dancing. Show them. Well, no one here, these young people, they need a volunteer. Show them. Show them. Jesus, He was in the show and tell business. He told people, and guess what He did? He showed them. Leadership, true leadership, really follows after by example. True dictatorship just follows after by command. Come on now. That's where it comes into. Not just from whoever's on the pulpit, from all of us. When we come to the house of God, I believe, in America, one of the greatest problems is that naturally we have some of the most, unhealthy people, physically. And I believe that it can link a lot back to the house of God. You're probably like, all right, Justin, listen to this. We've become a lot of times so spiritually obese. We want the word, we want resources, we'll go to the book sales, we'll read, we'll take in, we'll read, we'll take. But yet, if you don't walk it out, what result is it? You just wasted money and you're broke and you're going to be like the one who says, I have nothing but a few books. If you don't, the Bible talks about walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. I say work out your salvation. That's the workout. Work it out. Walk it out. It's not enough just to say, well, God, I feel obligated. What new sermon just to keep the people here? No. Adolf Hitler, most terrible dictator. I mean, terrible. But there was something he said. How is it that a man who is Austrian, not German, got a hold of a whole German nation in the way it did, and they were so deceived in the way that they were? You know what? He actually told the people this, the people under his command, all he said was this, with what propaganda he was saying, he says, just make it simple. Say it often. And make it burn. And there's so much propaganda out in our society today where people are redefining all kinds of stupid stuff. But when the house of God needs to come back and say, you know what, Lord? I'm not just here looking for some new revelation. Lord, at the expense of neglecting what you've already given me. Help me to take with what you gave me, Lord, and to go out in the better sense. Lord, maybe I need to make it simple. Maybe I need to proclaim this faith often. And Lord, by your Spirit, let it burn. Let it burn, Lord. Let it burn. I really believe, the church is called to be the head, not the tail. The head, not the tail. If the head lowers, the tail lowers. If the church lowers her standards, everything else will just lower. What we're seeing out there is just a result of where the church is at. But I'm so excited. I am so excited of what God has allowed to be shaken even before a President Trump came into office. All the craziness, all this, why? Well, why? Because, homosexuality, that's not good. No, it's not good. But there are people coming to the surface who need deliverance. But we've been so comfortable, Brother Ben, in our four walls that we just say, oh, they're a bunch of crazy whatever. And not going out with a heart of compassion and say, you know what, brother? God wants to deliver you. Don't come to the Lord just because you're gay. Come because you're a sinner. I was a sinner. You're just sitting in a whole nother. But God wants to deliver you. He wants to set captives free. People dealing with racial division. It's a heart issue, not a skin issue. It's a heart issue. Well, you know, well, back in the day, but listen, we only ascribe to one king, and that's his name is Jesus. It's a heart issue. You know, I've learned even at my job, I mean, obviously I came out of the world and I used to have a filthy mouth, and I'm around people who have filthy mouths, but God gave me a grace to say, no, go beyond the language, go to the heart. Because if I could change the heart, I can change everything about them. If God could change the heart of a Pharaoh, he can let his people go. Amen? He's in the heart business. In the heart business. And so, sowing, you know, we reap what we sow. By faith. Sow with where you got. Sow with where you are at right now. Well, Lord, I'm believing for a harvest. Okay, well, with what you do have, sow into it. Sow into it. You know, it's so easy that we can become so overcritical in areas that we never sowed into. Never did. I've known this. Well, you know, if the church did this, you know, with tithing or whatever, and yet you don't tithe, you have no room to talk. God wants us to sow and invest in what oil we got and what's in this house. Regardless of how we shape it, all that. And it always begins with this, Pastor Mel, the place of intercession. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist to be an intercessor. I know we have prayer ministry teams, but guess what? All are called to the place of prayer. You think, well, you know, we're all called to the place of evangelism, but before that, we're all called to the place of prayer. Because if you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to be able to evangelize. You're not. Paul says, how would they know unless one is sent? How would they know? Well, how would I know unless I actually hear from God? I can't prophesy something that the Lord never spoke to me. So I got to be in the place of intercession and the place of corporate prayer, not personal intercession, but also corporate prayer. And I want to make it for the body. I really believe it's so important, crucial, that when God begins to speak in the direction, we put everything at bay to make that the centerpiece. Corporate prayer is not just a place where now I can come with my intimate dealings and bring that to the pot. That has its place. But corporate prayer is an opportunity to say, we're going to come together with one mind. Oh, Lord, you know, I pray, thank you, God. You've led me by faith. No, okay, God bless you. You were led by faith. But come on, there's us now. Us time. Lord, you're leading us by faith. God, give us the mind to work. Give us, Lord God, cause us to sow. Cause us to see what's within our house, Lord. Cause us to go, oh, but Lord, you know, I tried, God, tell them that man, you know what, sister, just be quiet right now. It's us time. This is corporate prayer. Why? Because we don't even hear, no. We're in a desperate need. There's times of intimacy. There's things God speaks to me out of the Word that He tells me not to share with people because it's for me. To put it in the storehouse. So I don't have to say I have nothing but a little bit of oil or one word. There's a place for intimacy. There's a place to say, you know, pastor, elders, God, can you pray for me? There's a place for that. But I'm talking about when we come together in one mind, one heart, and praying and travailing the gates of heaven and saying, Lord, help us to strike into the earth the life. That's the very foundation bed of any church. You take prayer out, you don't got a church. You got some social group. You don't have a church. It is not the continuation of prayer. I can say this, is that when I remember I went to Peru with a team and we were ministering and there was a group right outside of the tent. I mean, hundreds of more people than we expected to be there. And there's this group of intercessors constantly praying. For the meeting. From 6 in the morning to midnight. And people in camp, and they went shifts so that the prayers would not break. And I'll tell you something. As there was ministry happening, people were getting released from demonic strongholds. Devils were coming out of people. All that. Why? Because I had some good word? No. Or Pastor Phil had good word? No. Because there's intercessors. Intercessors. I wouldn't be here without that intercessor right there. My mom. My grandparents, people here who have prayed. Every life, I believe, that comes to the kingdom is by result of answered prayer. I've lately been revealed to people, even distant relatives, that they're not living for the Lord. I've been reaching out to them. And I'm so thankful that I don't have television and things to distract me from interceding for them. How can I say that I'm so concerned for their life and yet I'm not in a place of really storming gates of heaven for them? Well, but if only they believe. No. I believe. Regardless whether you believe, whether they believe, it's if you believe and you intercede, God does things, changes things, moves in such dynamic ways. I believe God's wanting to bring the church in so much of a oneness that we don't really realize it. I'm telling you, there is something within this house. And I'm not just saying because I'm preaching at Grace Chapel. This was something God put in my heart 2 weeks ago. But there's something beneath the surface. And I'll be closing here shortly. Thank God for what God did in Grace Chapel. You guys have a rich heritage. You know that? You're reminded just about every Sunday. And Pastor Mel, you do such a phenomenal job honoring your mother and father and what God has done through them. I've never seen a pastor who so honored those who were before him. But let me tell you something, church. Take the good things that God has done and yet to believe God for what new good things. If you come in here is only just because you feel obligated because Brother Luke and Sister Edna are here, you're missing the picture. You're missing the picture. They're not here because it's about them. They're here because they want to see Jesus move again. So we could talk all we want about glory, but let me tell you something. Don't ever get it confused with having fresh expectation for what new things God wants to do. You can go to hymn sings all you want, but don't lose the spirit of a cry within your heart. God never called us to live backwards. Yesterday can't be repeated, but it can be appreciated. And say, Lord, just do it again. Do it again. Hallelujah. Does that make sense this morning? I just really felt that in my heart. As we're called to be light, you know, it's just amazing. I want to read this verse. Romans 15:30, it says, Paul said that this, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers, he says, for me. You know, pastor needs your prayers as much as you need his. You know, as the church here has blessed Laura and I, you didn't just bless us, you blessed the Lord. He says, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. Whatever I do with whatever I could give to be spent for Christ to you, it's to be a blessing unto him. And if we can be a blessing one to another and can labor together in intercession, then this day that you've known it now will be nothing but an earmark of part of your process in history. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen, 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 amen.